Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
To stop a flight? We could do it in those days. You can't do it today.
What's the most interesting thing you've ever had to do at your job?
I had to get him from the office at Lehman Brothers to the flight. I knew just looking at it, it was not going to happen. So I called the chief protocol officer at the airport, and I said, could you give me 5 minutes? Could you hold that flight for 5 minutes? He said, no more than five. I will meet you at the gate, and I will escort you right on through. That's when you could do this. Right on through, and we can get them. And, of course, they're very calm, and, you know, everything is just going along, and my heart is racing.
This is Money Talking from WNYC. I'm Charlie Herman. And today, executive assistants, how they make the impossible possible, what they know about how your office really works, and what they can teach you about how to succeed in your job.
It's a complex role because you're being asked to think at the level of the executive.
For 10 years, Melba Duncan worked with Pete Peterson, the CEO of Lehman Brothers, until they both left the investment bank in 1985. She later went on to found her own company, the Duncan Group, which helps to recruit and train executive assistants for CEOs and other corporate leaders for what's known as the C-suite. She's also written for the Harvard Business Review. And she says a lot of people misunderstand what executive assistants really do.
I think it is underrated. I believe that most of the people who work in this capacity, not necessarily at the C-suite, you can work for teams, you can work for managers, but if you are at the C-suite, it is a very different place to think, to function, to manage information. You have to be able to be very discreet. You have to be able to say no and not offend anyone. There's a talent to the exchange of information. There's a talent to being able to work with personalities. People don't always have the most calm way of expressing their dissatisfaction. But you have to be able to say, it's not about me. This is not about me. This is about a circumstance, and step away from it.
I've always thought that the one, a sign of a type of employee is the way that they treat secretaries, the way they treat assistants. And I also have always thought that, or first of all, do you agree with that? When you see that in the way employees acted towards you when you were in
there? Absolutely. But, you know, it's also up to the executive. I mean, I love working for Pete because he would say, ask Melba. If you want to see me, ask Melba.
Well, that gets to what I always think, which is if you want to get access to an executive, you actually have to have a good relationship with their assistant.
That's right. And that gives that executive assistant a lot of power. A lot of power, but at the same time, not power that you can abuse or should abuse. But secretaries are looked upon as you know, dismissible. You know, this is somebody I can always replace. I don't have to worry about it. Today, because of the complexity of technology, because of the complexity of global travel, because of the complexity of working on an international basis, which is 24/7, you have a capacity now that's far beyond answering a phone and typing an answer. I mean, it is now compatibility with that executive and keeping on point with that individual or with that team.
As an assistant, you get asked to do a lot of things. We all get asked to do a lot of things in the office. What are the lessons that those people, that assistants can teach other people about how to say no?
Saying no. You have to know why you're saying no. We have to assume that you're being asked to do something that's not disreputable. Because then you say no, and that's the answer.
But sometimes you're just overburdened because you don't think it is the right thing to do, even though you're not the strategy person, you're not the CEO. But you look and you think, no, that's just not the right way to do this, or I can't do this.
Then you have to have the confidence to walk in or say, may I have a moment of your time, please? You've asked me to do X, Y, and Z. Here are the timelines for those three activities. Please define for me which one takes precedence, because I am not going to be able to do 100% of all three of these assignments. So let's decide which one I'll get them done, but let's decide what's most important. We'll work on that first, then we'll follow up, then we'll follow up, and we'll get it done. Because executives have no idea what goes into doing the smallest task They have no idea what it takes to get someone on a flight, what it takes to get someone double-checked to make sure the car is there, what it takes to make sure that the lunch is ordered. They have no idea. So you have to constantly be that reminder through confidence and your capability. Now, if you're not competent and you're not confident, it doesn't work.
It sounds like one of the best qualities that you're looking for in an assistant is either a mind reader or someone who can see the future.
All of that. And someone who can look at the person and say, not now.
In the article in the Harvard Business Review, the title of it was What Executive Assistants Know About Managing Up. So give me sort of your top three or the tips to give to other employees about what they need to know.
Learn what that executive is responsible for. Take away from that executive the responsibilities that you can take care of. You're not limited by a job description. Job descriptions, to me, don't really replicate what the role is. There are ways to sort of stratify what we're looking for, but once you put that person in that position, ask them 2 years later, how does that relate to when you were hired? Oh, Melba, I'm doing a totally different job. So the idea is to start and expand. And that's what I mean by managing up, and take away from that executive whatever it is you think you can do. The question is, what's important to you? What do we have to get done? What do you need to get done? And here's what I can do to help you to get done. I think that's the exchange. That's the friendship that evolves and emerges out of these relationships. It's always about that friendship. Knowing how to help that person to be more effective and save time is the key. But you have to let that individual know, I'm here to help you. Just tell me what you need. And if you don't tell me what you need, I will try to guess. I may be right, I may be wrong, but I won't repeat it if I'm wrong. So help me, if you will. And that means you can always call. You know, I used to call at odd times to get an answer to a question, because sometimes they just don't want to answer you. Track people down the hall, walk behind the person, drop notes. Or it becomes humorous after a while in terms of trying to get someone to tell you what they need so you can help them. It's just ironic. But that's personalities. You have to understand the personalities you're working with. You have to read that body language when they come through the door. You have to know this is time for a Diet Coke.
I remember a story of a colleague of mine who couldn't get the attention of a boss. So she sent him a bouquet of flowers with a note that basically said, like, remember me, love to talk, or something like that.
Perfect. Those are the ways. And, you know, humor is by far the best way to communicate. I need you to give me an answer. You'll never get it that way. You have to find humorous ways of doing that.
Well, Melba, thank you very much.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me here. I appreciate it.
Melba Duncan is the founder and president of the Duncan Group, where she recruits executive assistants and consults with big companies about how to create the best relationships between executives and their assistants. And I want to leave you now with some tales from those assistants of what it's like on the front lines.
Like, once you start doing their laundry and you know how they take their coffee, like, that's a very... It's personal.
It's very personal.
And you know what makes them tick and you know what can break them, which is kind of dangerous.
Amazing.
Why are you trusting me with this? Because I could break you.
My boss had wanted to take her mother's things from the nursing home she was living in and asked me to bring this to the hospital. Unbeknownst to me, when I brought it in the room, the mother was lying in the bed, dead.
Hi. Would have to get a lice kit and just say to them, you know, calm them and say, oh, you know, this happens all the time. Don't worry about it. Like, oh, yeah, me and my lice.
I know you've got to have some stories of your own about the trials and tribulations of work, and we want to hear them. Record a voice memo on your phone and send that sound file to us at moneytalking@wnyc.org. You might even hear yourself on our next podcast. And if you like what you're hearing on Money Talking, write us a review on iTunes. It really helps get the word out. I'm Charlie Herman, and this is Money Talking from WNYC.